Chapter 8, First Olympics. By the time I was 18, I'd finished school and moved from sunny Queensland down to Melbourne in Victoria. Although I'd won a Commonwealth Games gold medal, I was still dreaming about the Olympics. But I didn't just want to compete in relays anymore. I wanted to run in my own event. My coach in Melbourne was a middle-aged man with thin, silvery hair called Peter Fortune. Fort was pretty calm and relaxed, which suited me. He coached other Australian champions and thought my fluid running style was best suited for the 400 metres event. I had run a few 400 metre races over the years, but I'd never really focused on it. The first time I'd raced that distance was when I was 12. I ate a Mars bar just before the start, and all the way around I could feel it. I collapsed when I crossed the finish line and almost threw up. Together, Fort and I started training for the Barcelona Olympic trials. The day I heard I'd been selected, I was over the moon. I'd qualified to run in both the individual 400-meter sprint and the 400-meter relay. I couldn't help thinking back to the time when my old high school teacher, Sess, told me I'd go to the Olympics one day. The first thing I did when I got to Barcelona was call Mum. She'd been holidaying overseas for a few weeks and was staying with some friends in Israel. "Hey, Ma," I said, "how are you doing?" "I'm good, darling," she said. "My friends are taking really good care of me. Where are you?" "I'm in the Olympic Village, Ma. It's right by the ocean, so it feels like a holiday resort. I start competing in a week or so. You'll be here in time, won't you?" "Of course I will," Mum said. "I couldn't come this far only to miss my girl competing in her first Olympics." In the athlete's village, I shared a room with long-distance walker Kerry Saxby. Our apartment was on the third floor, and we had a TV room, a kitchen, a bathroom, and one bedroom. The bedroom window had a view of the street. Every morning I got woken up when a noisy garbage truck came to collect the rubbish. Just before I'd left Australia, one of my friends had given me an Aboriginal flag as a present, and I hung this on the bedroom wall for everyone to see. It made me feel so proud with its beautiful colours of black, red, and gold. Even though we had our own kitchen, Kerry and I ate most of our meals in the huge dining room. If the dining room at the Commonwealth Games had seemed big, this one was like a small town. The whole Olympic Village was incredible. There were movie theatres, beauty salons, and even a games parlour. I was lucky I didn't get lost. Everywhere you went, there was something or someone to look at, including athletes from every country in the world. My races went on until the second week of the games, so I had plenty of time to explore. I loved walking around Barcelona. The warm, salty air reminded me of Queensland. Then there were the official events at the village. I sat in on a press conference with Michael Jordan and the pole vaulter Sergey Bobka. Everything felt like an adventure. On opening ceremony night, I was in the front row of the Australian team. I entered the stadium to see bright lights and hear thousands of people cheering. You could feel the electricity in the air. I knew our lap around the stadium would be something I'd want to remember forever. As we walked, I spotted the actress Felicia Rashad in the crowd. It was such a thrill to see her in person. She played the mother character on one of my favourite TV shows, The Cosby Show. Just as we came to the end of our lap, the American basketball team entered the stadium. I couldn't believe I was seeing legends like Charles Barkley and Magic Johnson up close. Everyone, including me, thought that was so cool. By the time the second week arrived, I was still feeling overawed. There are four stages in the 400-meter event: the first heat, the second heat, the semi-final, and the final. As I walked onto the track for my first heat, I couldn't get over how many people were in the stands. "This is it," I thought. "My first race at the Olympics." I found my focus in time to run a good race. I was just beaten in the line to come second, The next day, Mum arrived in the village. I was on a bus on the way to training and I saw her outside the Olympic Stadium. "Mum, Mum," I screamed out the window. I was so happy to see her. I had tears in my eyes. That night, Mum asked my manager if we were going to have a party after I'd won the gold medal. She was so used to me winning, she didn't see why the Olympics would be any different. On the day of my second heat, I felt so relaxed, I was almost in a dream world. When the gun went off, I wasn't ready and made a slow start. I picked up speed in the second half, but it was too late. I only managed to come fifth. The first four girls made it through to the semi-final. I was out of the race. It was a huge blow. But when I saw Mum, she just sat me down on her lap and hugged me. "It's okay," she said, stroking my hair. "There'll be other games." Together we watched the 400-meter final from the stands. A woman from France, Marie-Josée Percy, ended up taking home the gold medal. Our 400-meter relay team finished 7th in the final. It was another disappointment, but I didn't let it get me down for long. Now that I'd had my first taste of the Olympics, I knew that I'd be back. I wanted to be like Kieran Perkins and Marie-Josée Percy, who'd both won gold medals at the Games. I was sure that winning was part of my destiny. When I got home, I found a label and wrote down the number 48.60. Marie-Josée had run the 400 metres in a time of 48.82 seconds, so I figured 48.60 was my magic number. The time I needed to run to win a gold medal at the Olympics. As I stuck the label on the mirror beside my bed, I remembered the certificate I'd made when I was 10. I found another bit of paper and wrote out the same words. "I am the world's greatest athlete." I figured that if it had got me this far, maybe it could work again.